Okay.
Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program on Health Star Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Join Dave and his guests now and every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Health Star Worldwide as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day so you can live your caregiver life more fully and abundantly. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
From Los Angeles, the Big LA, welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I am Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous worldwide Health Star Network. Yes, folks, I'm the guy who's going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiving. And we're going to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. Yes, that is a nasty word, and you do not want to go anywhere near that. Now, we have an exciting show planned for you today, so stay tuned. Deborah Kagan, she helps women, and let's face it, 90% of caregivers are women. She helps women conquer self-doubt and indecision to step into their full power, love who they are, and live a turned-on life. Sounds just like what caregivers need, doesn't it? And my very special co-host, Adrian Grubberg, is the founder of The Caregiver Space, a very successful website, blog, and chat room platform, along with a Facebook page with over, my gosh, 120,000 followers. So honored to have her co-hosting with me. Thank you, Adrian.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You do not want to miss this interview. I'm your host, Dave Nassani, as I said, and this show is the caregivers of every kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are caring, selfless, sacrificial. Oh, yeah, and they're very prone to burnout because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. Folks, come on, learn a lesson from the airlines. Remember every time you board a plane, you tune them out when they start to tell you that if there's an emergency, put your own oxygen mask on first before you help your child with their mask. And the reason they tell you that is because they know that you will most likely black out if you don't put your needs above the needs of your loved ones. And then you won't be of any help to anybody with anything. And guess what? Caregivers are exactly the same way. Now, we also talk about grief and loss here and the devastating effects it can have on us. It automatically throws us into this other thing called the grief process. Ouch. Unfortunately, folks, there is only one way out of the grief process, and that's to go through it. Can't go around it, can't go under it, can't go over it. You got to go through it. And if you happen to feel like you're stuck through your grief and your loss, we're here to help you. Hey, if this is your first time tuning in, you can learn more about me and my show, my radio podcast, my books, my videos, my blog. I know it sounds like it's all about me, but it's not. It's actually all about you. So go to my website, caregiverscaregiver.com. That's caregiverscaregiver.com. Take our short quiz. It'll assess if you are a candidate for burnout. And just for doing that, I'm going to email you my very first book, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships, absolutely free. Yeah, I know I'm a nice guy. All right, I'd like to take this moment and thank my last week's guests, RN and caregiver Susan Shepherd, and we were talking all about burnout and what to do in hospital situations to get excellent care. All those shows are on my podcast website, so you can check them out. They're on iTunes as well. All right, enough of that. Deborah, welcome, and thank you so much for patiently sitting through all that introduction stuff for our first-time listeners. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here with you both.
And we are happy to have you. I just want to thank you again for agreeing to come on the show. Really appreciate it. Why don't you begin, Deborah, by telling us a little bit about yourself. Just who is Deborah and what do you do?
To sum it all up, that's going to take, to tell you the whole story would take quite a while. But
just
to sum it up,
take
2 minutes. I know, we only have an hour. So I help women rock their mojo. It's all about feeling amazing in your own skin, really reclaiming your confidence, and living that turned on life, right? So it is, it's where you're enthusiastic about life. It's where you're excited about your life and you feel good about who you're being, which allows you to create the things that you want to do and the things to have.
Well, that sums it up. Have you met Adrian?
Hello, Deborah.
Nice to be with you. It's good to meet you.
You too.
So I was so excited when I met Deborah and she told me what she does, because there's not too many people I meet who have the word mojo in their title. So why don't you just explain to us, for those who might not even know what the word mojo, I'm sure there's a whole generation who've never heard that word before.
Yeah, I mean, you know, most people think, oh, it's Austin Powers, right? I mean, mojo technically, if you look up the etymology of the word, it probably has its origins from Africa, but it basically means your own magic, your personal power. It's your magnetism. It's the energy that people feel from you before they ever, you know, you ever even say anything. So we always say, like, oh, that person has a good vibe. That person, you know, doesn't have good vibes. It is your energy. It's your vibration, but it's the life force that is within you. And it is what can draw things to you or push them away.
Adrian, you think caregivers could use some of that magic?
I think so. That kind of energy can only be good.
Now, with the risk of having you sound too simplistic with cookie cutter advice, because I'm sure you're aware of it, but maybe you're not. But some caregivers really have tremendously hard lives. I mean, we had a show a couple of weeks ago and people were just, you know, the show was about having fun caregiving, and half of the people like went ballistic. Fun? How can you have fun cleaning up crap off the floor and you know, caring for a husband who doesn't give a rip about me, doesn't appreciate what I do? And they're just going on and on and on and on and on. So, you know, I would assume some people have to be a little open to your message and not be so burned out and fried to a crisp that nothing's coming in. Any advice for those people who are, let's start with the ones that are really, really in a bad place. I'm sure you've had some of those.
Well, yeah. And look, I mean, I've been in really, really bad places myself, right? So I know what it feels like to just be totally burnt out. And I actually took care of both of my grandmothers at the end of their lives. Oh. So, you know, I am familiar with that kind of intensity and that kind of stress. Yeah, I totally get, you know, I really do get that burnout. As I was saying, I took care of both grandmothers at the end of their lives. And, you know, I think when you get to that place, it definitely can feel very hopeless. And like, all you want to do is, you know, throw yourself someplace, to just disappear for a while or maybe ever. But the fact of the matter is, there needs to just be a recognition that, number one, you're still breathing. Right. So if you're still breathing, there's something that you can do. Number two, then say, okay, what is the next best or easiest thing, you know, action step that I can take? And that's, you know, that is going to take sometimes a mental leap, right? You have to allow yourself to even be willing to say, yes, I'm going to do something for myself in order to deal with this burnout. So it starts really with the mindset. And, you know, I know we'll get into this in the conversation, but, you know, mojo, it's a good four-letter word. And everything that I teach and, you know, the platform that I've built is around the four pillars of mojo. So it's really, it's become an acronym that stands for, number one, the M is for mindset, right? So we have to start with getting our heads screwed on straight. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that's where we, you know, I would say you have to begin.
Let me just stop you, Adrian. Any comments so far? I want to get your advice.
Not there. So far. No, I'm listening intently.
Okay. Go ahead, Deborah.
So, yeah, I'd say, okay, so first we have to start with just getting our heads screwed on straight and go, okay, you know, the fact of the matter is I'm still here and I need to take care of myself. So, you know, it could be simply about who can you have step in your place, even if it's for an hour, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I work with a lot of moms as well. And so there's that moment of separation where you have to go, okay, you need to let somebody else take care of the kid, even if it's for an hour. So you can just go take a walk, go get a manicure, you know, even if you want to go to the grocery store for yourself for a change, just sit and feel the sun on your skin, whatever it might be, just disappear and take a bubble bath. Like, you know, so who can step in for you, even for a short amount of time, right?
Any practical tips on how to find, because some of these people say, right, Adrian, that there's nobody. I've asked everybody. I'm all alone. Nobody cares about me. I've got five brothers and sisters. They never call. They never pick up the phone.
The other side of
go ahead.
The other side of that is that the person that's being taken care of doesn't want anyone else. They're adamant about it. That no one can do it but you. and you feel you can't leave. You're on a leash.
Prison.
That's what they feel.
Yeah. So we need some practical tips on how they can get past that mindset, because it may be true, but most often than not, wouldn't you agree, Adrian, it's probably not true. It's probably they've convinced themselves that it's true.
Well, it's a matter of re-educating the person that you're caring for, that unless you take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to be there to take care of them, that you're going to start to feel the effects of not being able to take care of yourself and therefore won't be able to be present. So you have to explain to them, I'm only gone for an hour, I'm only going for a manicure, or so-and-so is coming in for a few hours while I go to a movie. I need something so that I can continue with joy and love to continue to do what I'm doing for you.
Yeah, and of course, some care receivers are not like the most wonderful recipients of care in the world. They some people have told me, they won't let me even sleep in the other room. I've got to sleep in a chair and because they don't want to be alone for a second. So maybe that comes into making healthy boundaries, you know, and just because they're kind of allowing them to be taken advantage of. They're allowing them to have them make the rules instead of you make the rules.
What you brought up in terms of healthy boundaries is very important. And I think, you know, that goes for a lot of times, you know, people get into these situations and maybe they haven't done any self-development over the years. Right. And so, you know, there is, when we don't feel good, some of our less desirable personality and character traits can come out. Right. Yep. So this, you know, this definitely shows up. And when you say create healthy boundaries, that's an important piece. And there's always an opportunity for the caregiver to step into more of who they are, because what are you really going to stand for, right? Are you going to take a stand for this, you know, the person that you're caring for, even in whatever state they might be in, to not be in a place of their own power, even, you know, again, and they might be in a very debilitated situation. You know, I know people caregive in all sorts of scenarios, from life threatening to, you know, a temporary illness to, you know, everything in between. But the fact of the matter is, don't you want to take a stand for that person to have the most, powerful, loving, you know, dignified experience possible? And that's going to start with you as the caregiver. Right. Yeah. You have to make that decision. And so if you're allowing yourself to fall into the energy, literally the mojo or lack thereof, of the person you're caring for, then you're not really helping them. Right. And so there's a big empowerment piece that can be had. And of course, that starts with ourselves. Right. It always starts with the individual. And you know, there are numerous ways that you know we can go with this, and you know, women, caregivers can help themselves. So I'll stop there for the moment and see where you want to go.
Well, you stopped at a good spot, because we have to take a break. Hold that thought, and we will be right back. Don't go away.
Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and tune in to Dave, the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program on HealthStar Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. With roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, it's about one-third of the population. That means everybody probably knows somebody caring for a loved one. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. mothers of special needs children, family members caring for elderly parents, spouses, siblings, or friends caring for disabilities such as Alzheimer's, dementia, cancer, stroke, heart disease, diabetes, muscular dystrophy, AIDS, autoimmune diseases. The list goes on. Join Dave and his guests every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on HealthStar Worldwide as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. You'll start feeling better in no time as you begin to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help you get through the day and to live life more fully and abundantly.
Hey, welcome back. We are with Deborah Kagan and Adrian Gruberg, and we are talking about mojo. Go ahead, Deborah, take up where you left off.
So, you know, there are many things we can do. And as I was saying, let's just talk about what mojo is in the context of this platform that I share and I work with my clients, right? We've talked about mindset. That's the M. The O is what I call the oracle, and that's our body, right? So once we have our mindset, we got our head screwed on straight. That's our life above the neck. Now we have to tune into our bodies, and I call it the oracle because our bodies really know. They really do. If we take the time to ask them, like, what do you need? What do you want to eat? Do you need to take a nap? Do you want to be sitting in this section of the theater to watch the movie? Your body always knows.
And so we should actually ask ourselves out loud these questions?
You can ask yourself out loud, or you can ask yourself, you know, quietly. I just said to my husband, we were out to brunch the other day, and he was like, babe, should I have, you know, this or should I have this? And I just looked at him and I thought, you know, we've been together.
You said, ask yourself.
Yeah, I was like, we've been together, you know, for almost 6 years now. And I said, you know, honey, what does your body say? He sort of, you know, he gives me the look, right? And I was like, babe, ask your body. And he looked at me in, you know, his body wanted the one that his mouth didn't, you know, his mouth didn't necessarily want.
If I asked my body, it would say like In-N-Out Burger, but, you know, I shouldn't do that. Sometimes our body lies to us or not really.
You know, I think that you're letting your mind trick you on that one, right? Because if you, you know, so, but the other interesting thing about the oracle is our bodies are where all of our power lives, right? It's where our energy, our life force, our chi, any martial artists out there, any yogis out there, right? It's our prana, and it lives in our bodies. It's right below our navel and above our pubic bone. And it goes from the front of the body all the way to the back of the body.
Really?
Yes. Oh. And it's not a coincidence that we were created, right, that in that area, like that is where our reproductive organs are. And so it's kind of amazing, particularly as a woman, that we can build a person inside our body in this area, right? Kind of a miracle. So our life force and our power lives in this area. Martial artists call this area the Dantian. This is where the power moves come from, right? Mm-hmm. So it's also called the Hara. And when, you know, when you are so intensely scattered, when you, you know, just have so many things going on, you're only living up in your head, you know, you haven't engaged and connected with your power, it's very challenging to be connected to your own mojo, right? So yeah, we have to have a relationship with our power center to access our own mojo. That's a really big deal. That, you know, that's number one. And one of the easiest ways to do this, as, you know, kind of maybe out there as this might sound for some people who are, you know, my real type A, very, you know, linear, practical people, I just invite you to try this, right? Like, there's no harm in just checking it out. What's the worst that could happen? You could end up feeling better.
It could give a burned out caregiver hope that maybe things might get better. And that's huge. That's huge, isn't it, Adrian?
I have to keep turning myself on and off here. Yes, it is huge. Convincing them that they can do this. Sure. I don't know what exactly we're going with this yet, as far as what this seat of power is. Are you going to suggest they take a breath? Because to me, sometimes that's all it feels that. That's all you have time for is just breathing.
Yeah. Breathing is a really good thing to do.
Yeah.
Breathing helps. But here's the thing. If you actually put your hand on your power center, so it's below your belly button, right above your pubic bone, that whole area. I personally like to also call it the goddess pooch because I got a little extra in that area. So, you know, put your hand with your palm flat. And if you breathe into your power center, so this is a very low belly breath. It's a different thing than most people. Everyone's breathing pretty much, if they're lucky, into their chests, right? But when we breathe down low into our power center, you begin to internally stoke the flame of your own mojo, of your own energy, which is a source of renewal, okay? And one of the ways that I always suggest that you start working with this is first thing in the morning. Like literally before you put your feet on the floor, before you get up to go to the bathroom, just put your hand on your power center and take three beautiful breaths. Like there, everybody can do this. I don't care how busy you are. I work with a lot of, you know, very busy executives as well as, you know, intensely busy moms and entrepreneurs. And everyone's been able to successfully do this.
So and they're already breathing. They can take some special breaths.
But here's the thing that's different and what's special about it. You're connecting the breath to your power center because, you know, we are living and breathing and we are these walking programs, right? So we have been programmed from the moment we came out of the womb. And so every experience that we have is actually layered into our physical body. This is why we hear things like cellular memory, why, you know, people who have been great athletes and then either they had an injury and they weren't able to do their sport for many months, but boom, they heal, they get better, and they're back and better than they were before quickly because the body actually knows because it had that experience before. So all this stuff is layered in our body and we have these neurobiological wiring that is either helping the flow of our mojo or it has been blocking it. And any trauma, any kind, and we've all had trauma of some kind, whether it's physical, emotional, psychological, it is literally layered in there. And so the trauma and the pain, the ouchies, right, that we experience in life will get in the way of that natural flow of our life force, which is that mojo. And this exercise of simply connecting to your power center allows you to reconnect with the natural state of you and your own mojo.
Mm-hmm. What do you call the kinky life? What is that?
So the kinky life is exactly what I was just mentioning. Those are the kinks. Those are the traumas, the pain that has kinked up. Like when we're looking at a garden hose and we're trying to, you know, water the garden, but we all know the hose gets kinked and you got to unwind it so the water can get through. Like if you turn the water on at the spigot, it's the water's flowing, but the kink is what's preventing the water from flowing through the hose to get out, right? Okay. And water the garden. So the same thing with us. We have these kinks in our neurobiology, which are based on the more traumatic and painful experiences we've had in life. And they get in the way of our mojo.
I have a partner who's an acupuncturist, and he's always talking about restoring the energy flow from the left side of our body to the right side. And he's always trying to stick needles in me. And, you know, the yin and the yang and all of those. Is that what you're kind of talking about here?
That's a particular form of helping the energy flow in your body, which I totally believe in. I love acupuncture. Yeah. However, this is the difference about this is it's literally just helping you get to the source of your own power. Right. Okay. And so we need to be able to tap into that before we can have it flow anywhere in our body.
Sure. Adrian, if you want to jump in, just unmute yourself and jump right in.
Well, I think just the notion that you can sit up first thing in the morning and feel that there's a chance that you can restore this power, that you're doing something in three breaths for a caregiver, anyone's got to believe that they can do that. It's not prohibitive.
Yeah, and here's, you know, I do want to chime in real quick, though. Here's the thing. It doesn't work if you only do it just one day.
Oh, no. I understand that. Yeah.
Right? No, I know you do, but I just wanted to share that with the listeners.
Make a habit.
it, you know, you just let yourself do that exercise for 2 weeks. Just 2 weeks. See how you feel. If you don't feel any different and your days haven't got a bit more energy, a bit more clarity, don't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. I highly doubt that will happen, but I'm sure you'll have positive results if you do use it.
Now, Adrian, do you think this would work with when the loved one dies or passes? And now you've seen it many times as I have, the caregiver is kind of lost. They're floundering. They don't know what to do. They've been caregiving for maybe 20 years. Now, all of a sudden, their identity is gone and they don't know what to do. And many people just get depressed. Some of them go back into caregiving a stranger. And sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's bad. So
I think it's particularly helpful for someone who has lost someone else to get in touch with the fact that they have not lost themselves. They have not lost their energy, that whoever has passed hasn't taken you with them. Mm-hmm. You know, you are still here and you have to recognize that you're still here and realize all the good things about yourself haven't vanished just because the person that you've been caring for has. And they may not be ready to reinvent themselves yet, but just reminding yourself that you're alive is important.
So this is a reinvention of oneself, because when they became a caregiver, you know, they had to give up their career, they give up their job. Now they don't have money. They maybe had to move, leave all their stuff, put it in storage. It's like a major loss has taken place, not only with their loved one, but their entire life has been put on hold. And it's almost like, you know, inviting a stranger to stay. Hey, can I just stay for 3-4 days? You know, in 3-4 years, he's still there. So you never know how long you're going to be a caregiver. Many of them go in under false pretenses that this is just mm-hmm. going to be temporary. And then someone's going to relieve me. And 20 years later, they're still there doing it. And then so finally, you know, when they're free, they don't know how to really be free. So they go back into slavery.
Of course, there's a huge hole left when the person dies, or when you just can't take it anymore and you leave.
yeah, that happens.
Which does happen, but not that much with women. Go on.
Yeah, you know what's really interesting, and I just want to jump in because this is such a perfect segue into the J of Mojo. All right, which is joining with the different roles that you play in life. And I think it's so easy, you know, we're saying you can, you know, give up everything and move. And then all of a sudden you've had this, you adopt this role of this caregiver, and that becomes your primary role, you know, for however long that occurs. But many people, right, they didn't start out as a caregiver. They started out, you know, with whatever career they might have had, or they've started out as a mother or as a wife, or, you know, as somebody who loved horseback riding or yoga or gardening, right? There are all these other aspects to who you are. And, you know, what I find mostly, because again, mostly I deal with women entrepreneurs, however, what happens is, you know, they just live out of like their career, their professional role. And, you know, there's burnout that just occurs from living in that one place. And you don't feel seen and you don't feel heard and you don't feel fully expressed. And it's frustrating. And so one of the things that's important to remember, and I think something that, you know, your tribe and your listeners can think about is, okay, hang on a second. Who am I? Who am I outside of this caregiving role? Because there is a lot to you before you started. And there's parts of you that were probably even dormant before you began caregiving that you need to think about how you either might want to bring those parts of yourself out, even to take a break with, you know, while you're caregiving, or that you'll really let yourself live into once, if someone has passed on, and now it's time for you to create a new sense of yourself.
Right. It's realizing that as a caregiver, it's not all about the other person. There's a lot that has to do with who you are as a caregiver. And a lot of caregivers get very bitter thinking that it's all about them. It's not about me. But that's not true.
The victim mentality, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's, see, wherever you are, there you are. So if you were thinking that you were a victim before, you're certainly going to allow yourself to use this experience as excellent victim material and proof, right? Here's proof that the world is against me. Yeah. Right? But see, you know, that's again, that's up to you. And I'm in the business, and really my passion is to support women in leading their lives, right? When you are being mojolicious, you are at cause in creating your life.
Mojolicious.
Right?
Did you patent that?
Yeah. You are at cause, my friends. So we have to start with ourselves.
Now, hold that thought. We're going to take another break. When we get back, believe it or not, I know Blake Blade is our engineer, but today he's also kind of a caregiver. And I want to ask him, because part of the caregiver's problem is that I think half of the problem is with themselves and how they perceive things, how they react to things, how they just handle things. The other half is with their care receiver, who they have allowed to maybe disrespect them, walk all over them, et cetera. So it's a two-pronged thing. And when we get back from our break, I want to talk to Blade if he's willing to share about this neighbor that he has, who he's been helping out. And then all of a sudden, the relationship just kind of changed. And we'll talk more about that. So we'll be right back. Don't go away.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is a touching story about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resembled that of both a Martha Stewart and Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on her right side. She met her husband Dave 21 years earlier. They had a wonderful, fairy tale, storybook-like courtship that soon culminated in their marriage. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where after 10 years, she received two black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left, finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn. She started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought them all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, their love then produced Rebecca. They all had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is the amazing story of a woman's fight to survive. To survive all that life had thrown her way. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Her faith in God is her foundation in this hope that everything happens for a reason and what doesn't kill her will make her stronger. She inspires everyone that meets her. Best-selling author Lynn Barrington says, "If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story from the heart. It is inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light." 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel music, Andre Crouch, says, "Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror. As the Bible states, you will be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through." Order your copy today from the author's website, onearmoneleg100words.com. And Dave and Charlene will personally autograph your copy. Enjoy.
We're back with Deborah Kangen and Adrian Gruberg and temporary caregiver Blade. Blade, are you there?
Hi, guys.
Hi. So take a moment, Blade, and explain how Blade's such a nice guy. You know, he can't say no to anybody. And sometimes that means he gets taken advantage of or taken advantage of his good nature. And so many caregivers are like that. That's just so common. How much do you want to share about that, Blade?
I'm open to anything. About not being able to say no or that being taken advantage of?
Share what you shared with me about, I don't know how specific you want to get. I don't think he's listening to the show, right?
Oh, no. No, and it'd be okay because I had a nice talk with him, Dave.
Good. But it gave me great advice, right?
Well, you did. You did. And what it comes down to, the moral of the story is you just can't be bullied. And once you tell people that you're not going to be bullied, it changes the whole thing. It does. And I found that in all my experiences in life. And it was this. I live in an apartment complex, at least for another week. And it's a guy who I like a lot and who likes me a lot, lives alone. And he's probably 65 and he had a knee surgery. And so he's basically an invalid. He's on a walker, but he's got this huge dog. Right. And so I've been helping him walk his dog, and he's a monster, but he's a beauty and it's a sweet dog and all that. But so as a result, you know, I have a crazy schedule. I'll tell you that I can help when I can, and I let him know when I can. And sometimes I'm a few minutes late, and sometimes I'm 15 minutes late, and sometimes I'm early, but I try to keep him as posted as possible. And so, but I'm reliable and always there at all times. But so we have a friendship that was nice guy, and we both liked each other. And then as soon as he became like he couldn't do much and I was helping him out and I was doing nice things for him, he became, what's the word for it? I know you all have caregivers have a term for it, and I don't know what it is, but it's like you do someone a favor, it becomes your job for life. You know what I mean? And they become
advantage of it.
Well, yeah, and they become bossy and demanding. I said, where did that come from? This is a whole different thing. And then as a result,
you so don't belligerent?
Yeah. I was like, if you and I gotta and this and that and you didn't, you know, and I should and you have to and all those things come, and then it changes your whole attitude. And then all of a sudden you don't even like helping them anymore. Mm. But if you know what I mean, and I'm sure you do. So I went through all that. But to make a long story short, I had a talk with Dave about it. And he said, well, look, the boundaries was the word. Wasn't that it, Dave?
Yeah.
Wasn't that it?
Yeah.
And say, well, I can do this and I'll do everything I can for you. And that's that. Okay. Okay, bye. And then he's been an angel ever since.
Yeah, it shows you it's never too late to set those boundaries.
Yeah, but some people for 20 years don't. And it's just, you know, I'll hear the story and I'll say, oh my gosh, you know, and I'm sure Adrian, you hear it on your chat rooms where people are just going on and on and on. And I'm saying to myself, it's all your fault. And I hate to say that because that sounds so judgmental and like I'm putting you in a box, but, you know, 90% of these stories are the caregiver's fault because they just, you know, they don't know
take
how to
it.
Be strong, have a backbone and have a boundary. You find that too, Adrian?
Yeah, absolutely. They just take it. They
take what they can get. Give them an inch.
They make excuses for the other person. They're doing it. You know, they have to do it. They don't feel good. They, you know, they're just... They're not really mean. No, sometimes they're really mean.
They are. One of the things real quick also I've found makes a big difference in the dynamic is if you're getting paid for it or not. You know, because you know how that is. If you're getting paid to do a job, I mean, it puts you in a whole different mindset. And he wasn't paying me.
Yeah.
And most caregivers are, you know, volunteers.
Yeah,
most people at church volunteer, and it's like when they do a terrible job, it's like, well, hey, they're volunteering. What are you going to do? You want them to leave? No. And caregivers can leave anytime, or at least, you know, just subtly threatening that, hey, I'm here because I want to be here. I don't have to be here. And if things don't change, I'm not going to be here. I mean, is there anything wrong with saying that, Adrian? Is that being mean?
I did that myself. I told my mother if she didn't stop this one particular behavior that I wasn't going to continue to come down to Florida as a long-distance caregiver.
Yeah.
And after years and years and years of her behaving a certain way, she's okay. She was afraid that I meant it. Because I'd never said it before. It wasn't an empty threat.
Right.
And you can't make empty threats.
So, Deborah, we've got 6 minutes to go. Why don't you finish up what you were saying and then give us some time to find out how people can get a hold of you if they like what you're saying, they want more of it.
Sure. Well, you know, that'll bring us to the final O of Mojo, which is the Oasis. And it's so interesting because I've been sort of spearheading. My best girlfriend has been going through pancreatic cancer and she's doing great. She just had a Whipple surgery. And thankfully, it went super well. And so she's really on the up and up. But what was fascinating was Well, I definitely implemented the Oasis part of the Mojo, because the Oasis is our environment, right? These are the spaces that we spend our time in. It's our homes, it's our offices, and they are a body. They actually will support us or they will deplete us. And I spent many years of my professional life as a feng shui consultant, which is really, you know, you mentioned acupuncture before, that it's really acupuncture for architecture. Okay. There are simple things that even if you don't believe in something like that, there's just simple things that you know when you walk into someone's home or a restaurant even, that it feels good to you or it doesn't. And that has to do, again, with the energy of the space, because really everything is energy. Quantum physicists have proven this at this point.
And clutter is an energy sucker, you know, if it's clutter, in your mind, yeah, or in your room.
Exactly. Clutter is just like high cholesterol in the body, right? It does the same thing to our homes. So it just jams up the mojo flow.
So,
what was so fascinating was, you know, my girlfriend goes in to have this surgery, and we know she's going to be in the hospital for anywhere from 6 to 10 days with recovery. And I went in and I, you know, did the mojo zhuzh all on her hospital room. And so one of the things that we brought in was an aromatherapy diffuser.
Oh, I love that.
And so it was amazing. Every doctor, all her surgeons, all the nurses, I mean, you're talking on a lot of shifts, right? We know this is like multiple, like dozens of people. They all said, what is going on in here? It feels amazing. It smells so good. Like, where can we get one? And, you know, we were telling everybody where they could get their aromatherapy diffuser, which you can find them on Amazon or, you know, some health food stores. But this is about changing the dynamic in the oasis, like creating that environment to be an oasis. And so that's something that caregivers do have control over, and you can change the environment. If it happens to be that you're staying in the place where you're caregiving, that's great. Or you can do it in your own space.
Or a miniature waterfalls or music in the background, classical music.
Absolutely.
Is all part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things, you know, resource that people can find out more information of how to do this, I think my book, it's really the easiest and most simple thing. It's called Find Your Me Spot. For those people here on the blab.
I bet it's right below the navel, right?
It's actually like wherever you are. And the great thing, you know, I talk about using aromatherapy in this book, but it's really simple. It's about using your senses, because we're using them every day, smelling, seeing, touching, you know, tasting, hearing. Use your senses consciously and actively to stoke your own mojo, right?
Wow, awesome. Well, you got 3 more minutes, so...
Oh, that's exciting.
Yes.
All right. Well, so, you know, when it comes
to... Any advice for Blade there? Sounds like he got it under control.
It sounds like he got it under control, you know, with creating a boundary for sure. But, you know, if it's the dog walking you're doing, you might, you know, not be as kind as disposing of the the dog poop.
You know, I'm doing that too.
Yeah, I was going to say, but, you know, you could kind of use that to your advantage. That's a joke. That's a joke.
Like fertilizer.
Yeah, like fertilizer.
Oh,
I see. So, but the environment, like, again, something really simple that really women love, but like fresh flowers, you know, maybe people will be getting them anyway, but to have fresh flowers in a space shifts the dynamic. It's something that's living. It's, you know, it brings beauty to the room, and it brings a new life force. So bringing a plant or flowers into the space is really awesome.
I think that's it. Adrian, any last words?
No, I've been listening and agreeing most part.
Adrian agrees, you're in a good place.
Awesome.
She's a pretty tough cookie. A Jewish person from New York.
You know, she's talking to one of her kind.
So. Yeah, from the tribe.
Yeah, I'm an MOT.
Well, I just want to thank you again for coming on the show, all of you. And we're here every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So we'll see you next time. And this is our first Blab show. It was pretty stressful in the beginning, and we had some problems and road speed bumps going along. But I'm sure that Blade can fix it. I don't know if the video can be fixed, but something can be fixed. and we'll send you all the links so that you can promote it on your own websites. And
please.
Thanks again, and God bless you all. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani. Join Dave each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, or catch the program anytime, 24/7, right here on HealthStar Worldwide.